Today's Shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Nun Beis. We will begin on the Nun Beis Amin Aleph, the top of the Amid at the Mishnah. Very often throughout Shas, the Gemara speaks about an apotropos. An apotropos is an individual who, if there are Yosaimim, if there are orphans, and there needs to be an administrator to take care of their assets that their father left. There are, as we're going to learn in our Mishnah, three types of individuals who could become an apotropos. One is what the Mishnah calls shesomcho l'shulchan ba'al bayis. Essentially, we would probably call that an individual who is a self-appointed apotropos. Then we could have an apotropos that the father designated that this individual should be the apotropos for his children. And then we could have an apotropos that was appointed by the Beis Din. So says the Mishnah, Yisoyim Shesomcho Etzah Baal Bayis. If there's an apotropos that sort of, as we said, self-appointed, a Shemina Lema via apotropos, or was appointed by the father to be an apotropos, Chayiv La'asa Periseyim. Even though this individual was not appointed by Beis Din to be an apotropos, he could still have the authority to separate Trumas and Maestros from the produce of the Yisoimim. And the reason Chazal instituted such a rule is because Chazal did not want that the Yisoimim should eat Truma, should eat Tevel, produce from which that have Trumas and Maestros not removed. And therefore, all these apotropos have this ability. The reason most Rishonim explain they have that authority is because of a concept that we often discuss, and that is that Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, and with the authority that Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker gives these apotropos, they could take off Trumas and Maestros. Others say that we don't have to rely on the concept of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. Rather, we can explain that the reason the apotropos could take it off, because part of his appointment of apotropos includes that authority. The way the Rishonim learned the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is teaching us that certainly an apotropos that was appointed by Beis Din has the right to take off Trumas and Maestros. Included in that authority of the Beis Din appoints him is included in the authority that he could take off Trumas and Maestros. What our Mishnah is coming to teach us is that even the apotropos that wasn't appointed by Beis Din, whether it was the apotropos that was self-appointed or was the apotropos that was appointed by the father, also has the ability to take off the Trumas and Maestros. There's an interesting discussion amongst the Achronim. How old do these Yisoimim have to be that one has to take off Trumas and Maestros? So, as I saw the Achronim explain, that even though these Yisoimim are below Bar Mitzvah, we still have the obligation to make sure that they don't eat Tevel, that they don't eat produce from which Trumas and Maestros were not removed. Continues the Mishnah, the apotropos that was appointed by the father to be the apotropos, Yeshava, he has to swear to the Yisoimim that he did not withhold any of their assets. Sheminu Beis Din, whereas if he was a apotropos that was appointed by Beis Din, loy Yeshava. And as the Achronim explained the Mishnah, under normal circumstances, one cannot make someone else swear unless he has a very strong taina, unless he has a very strong point to make why he believes that the other person owes him money. So here, as the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos, Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph teaches us, the apotropos is an exception to the rule. And even though we don't have any specific reason to believe that the apotropos has withheld any money that belongs to the Yisoimim, the halacha still tells us that the apotropos has to swear. And the reason is as is the case for the other individuals who are mentioned in that Mishnah, Hashutfim, Varisin, Vepetropim, Vishin, Nesanis, Vnesanis, Betoich Abayis, or Ben Abayis, because since all these individuals are voluntarily working with the assets of the Yisamim, so what happens is people begin to rationalize, and they start to believe, look at all the work I'm doing, don't I deserve to keep some of these assets? And therefore, under normal circumstances, as that Mishnah teaches us, the apotropos has to swear. However, Minu Bezdin, as the Gemara is going to explain, Lo Yishova. He doesn't have to swear, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, because if he's going to have to swear, then nobody's going to want to accept upon himself to be an apotropos. Apishol Omer, just the opposite, Chilv HaDvorim. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the explanation is, because a apotropos appointed by Bezdin is considered a very great honor that this individual became an apotropos, that Bezdin chose him to be the apotropos. And since it's considered a great honor that Bezdin chose this individual to be an apotropos, that's why the person, even if he's going to have to swear, is prepared to swear for that purpose. However, when we speak about an apotropos that was appointed by the father, that doesn't represent any big covet, and therefore, under those circumstances, the apotropos will, if he's going to have to swear, will never accept upon himself to be an apotropos. So I'll ask the Gemara, Verminu. Our Mishnah just taught us that apotropos could take off trumas and maisris from the assets of the assignment. Ask the Gemara, Verminu, the pasuk that the Brisa actually that speaks about the pasuk that teaches us that trumas and maisris can be taken off by someone else, not only by the owner of the fruit, of the produce. The pasuk says, "Kein terimu gam atem." Atem, one could take off trumas and maisris from his own produce, v'loy shutfim. Partners, one partner can't take off truma from his portion for the other partner's portion without his express permission. Atem v'loy arisen. Arisen is a sharecropper who gets a percentage of the produce, but he's not allowed to take off trumas and maisris from his produce on behalf of the owner. Atem v'loy apotropos. So it says clearly that the apotropos is not allowed to take off trumas and maisris, which is the question the Gemara is focusing. Atem v'loy atayim shen eshloy. And somebody can't take off truma for somebody else's produce that is not his. So of course Rashi asked the obvious question. Once we've learned that a shutef and an arisin, an apotropos, cannot take off trumas and maisris, isn't it obvious that hatorim she'en eshloi, that I can't take off trumas and maisris for your produce without your permission? So Rashi explains that the way we have to learn this last line is it's not a new halacha, but rather as an explanation of the previous halacha. Why is the halacha atem v'loy shutfim, atem v'loy arisim, atem v'loy apotropsim? Because the halacha is v'loy atayrim she'en eshloi. Another terrorist, the Rashi suggests that the way to understand this brisa is loy zu afsu, that the brisa is indeed teaching us halachas that are obvious, but that the brisa many times does that. It goes and teaches us halachas that are obvious. Amar Rav Chisda. So here we have a question. Here it says, the brisa says that you can't take off with, apotropos doesn't take off trumas and maisris. Our Mishnah began that he can. Answers the Gemara Lekasha. Kan lahachal. If the purpose is that the Yisoymim should be able to eat their produce. And as we learned in the Mishnah, the halach is you can't eat the produce without taking off trumas and maisris. So then the halach is, so in order that the Yisoymim should be able to eat from that produce, the Bezdin gives them the authority to take off trumas and maisris. Kan, the Brisa, is referring to a situation, laniach, that they're going to be left to the side. And since it's going to be left to the side, the halach is that there's no reason that the apotropos take off trumas and maisris. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that normally the halach is that somebody who has produce should take off trumas and maisris immediately to avoid chas v'sholem, somebody eating, end up eating tevel unbeknowingly. But here, since he's only an apotropos, it's not their own. That's why Chazal said that they can't take off their own apotropos. Why indeed is that the halacha? So the Rishonim give a number of reasons. One reason is because we know that the choice of which kohen and levi is to get the trumas and maaseres belongs to the owner of the produce. So Chazal did not want to deprive the Yosaimim of being able to make that choice themselves. Because if the apotropos are going to take off the trumas and maaseres, they will choose which kohen and levi should get the trumas and maaseres. Another pshat, that's Rashi's pshat. Another pshat that the Shaz HaChus, Marie Mentz, says that God l'mitzvah v'oisa misha ena mitzvah v'oisa. The mitzvah of taking off the trumas and maaseres belong to these Yosaimim who own this. And therefore, since it's really their mitzvah, they should be the ones to take off the trumas and maaseres. A similar teretz that the Rishonim suggest, a similar explanation Rishonim give, that there's a rule throughout Shas, mitzvah boy, miyotzmi b'shluchai, that there's a bigger mitzvah to do something yourself, but than to do it through a shliach. So here, if the children are not yet of age, the Yosaimim are not yet of age to take off trumas and maaseres, so that's why we let the apotropos do it. But if it's laniach, and they're going to be old enough to take it themselves, we don't have it done by someone else. But Tanya, and the Gemara quotes a braisa that supports this. Apotropos and Tamer Masim Lahachel. Apotropos may take off Trumas and Maaseres in order to give produce to the Yisoyim. The Yisoyim should be able to eat this produce and not have a problem of Tevel. V'loy La'aniach. V'moichem Hem. And Apotropos may sell from the assets of the Yisoyim, Behema, their animals, Avodim, V'shvachis, Batim, Sodas, V'kromim, Lahachel. Again, if the purpose is that the children need what these proceeds to have what to eat. Avloy laniach, not just to put the money away. Or Michael and Pinus Yonishman of Smotus Lahachel, they're allowed to buy on behalf of the assignment all of these different foods. Again, if the purpose is that they should have what to eat, Avloy laniach, not to put away. Vaisalhem, and one is allowed to make, the apotropos is allowed to make on behalf of the assignment, Lula Varova, Sukh of Etzotus, called Dovishesh like Kitzva. Anything that has a specific finite value. Lasuye, Shaifer, that the halacha is that the apotropos could buy for the Yosaimim all these different things. So the question that the Rishonim discuss is that the halacha is that we're learning that they could buy lulav arava. The lulav, as we know, is the dalaminim. The arava is what we take on a Shana Rabbah. So ask the achrayim, that the Gemara Masech the Sukkah Daf Mem Dalad Amon Aleph teaches us that one can fulfill the mitzvah of Rava Hashanah Rabbah with that Rava from his lulav. And therefore, the question is that why do we have to buy him in our Rava? Why don't we let him take that Rava from his lulav? As we're learning in our Gemara, we're so concerned about every expenditure of a Yosaimah's money that is superfluous. So the Miches Chayin answers that indeed, if there are many Yisoyimim in the family, the apotropos will only buy one set of Dalaminim. However, the mitzvah Arava is that every person should have their own Arava. So if you have a number of Yisoyimim, they can't all rely on the Arava that's in the Lulav. Another point that's made is that the aravas that we have in the lulav is that we have two aravas in the lulav, but the minig is that we have many more aravas in the aravas that we take on a Shana Rabbah. So just relying on the two aravas that are in the lulav is insufficient. But then it's very interesting. We're again saying that the halach is that we have to be very frugal in any expenditure that we spend on behalf of the Yosaimim. So the question that the Maram Shif asks is that you don't have to have your own shofar. You could use somebody else's shofar. And you don't have to have your own dalaminim. You could use somebody else's dalaminim. So why may the apotropos spend money on behalf of the Yisoyim for Shofar and Dalaminim? So he explains that since it's advantageous for everyone to have their own Shofar, for everyone to have their own Lulav, even though you could indeed be Yaitza with somebody else's Shofar or Lulav, that's a good enough reason to be allowed to spend money on behalf of the Yisoyim. Says the Gemara, V'loichalem sefer Torah tefillah mezuzos, we buy on their behalf sefer Torah tefillah mezuzos, v'kol davi sheyesh leikitzvah, anything that has a finite price, l'suya megillah, that comes to include a megillah. So the Chaykh Shloima asks that we're speaking here about Yisoyim har huaktanim, but a cotton doesn't put on tefillin. So what's the pshat that we're buying tefillin because they're ketanim? They're not putting on tefillin yet because they're ketanim. So there are many that suggest, based on this Gemara, that even if the minig is that one puts on tefillin when they're 13 years old, a yosom should put on tefillin already when he's 12 years old. And since a yosom puts on tefillin already by 12 years old, that's why the discussion of the Gemara is very understandable, because even though they're ketanim, they need tefillin. Vein pleitz k'malei tzedaka. However, says the Braisa, we don't pledge tzedaka because that's something that, unfortunately, that there's a constant need for, and therefore we try to avoid those kind of expenditures. Vein pleitz k'malei tzedakim, we don't use their money for pinyan shvuyim, for like kol davar shein lekitzva, nor anything that has no specific mount, l'suya tanchumei aveilim. It's coming to speak about tanchumei aveilim. The way I saw that the Rishonim explained tanchumei aveilim was that the minig was that people would send food to the homes of the Yisoyimim, with home of people who were sitting in aveilus, and the aloch here is that we're not obligated to, that the Yisoyimim are not obligated to spend that kind of expenses. So I saw that the Achroinim discussed, the Shevet HaLevi, in Chelik Bei Simre Shvav, discusses that actually isn't the halacha that we don't send gifts to a ovel. And here we're speaking about sending money on behalf of the Yisoyimim, or sending money to the Avelim, and that the Yisoyimim are exempt. So Shevet HaLevi says that when we speak about Avelim, there are two types of gifts that are sent to Avelim. There are gifts, like Shalach Manas. And that, he says, the Shulchan Aruch clearly says, that we're not allowed to send Shalach Manas to Avelim. But sending food to Avelim, who are unfortunately sitting Shiva, and we're sending food to them so that they should have what to eat, that's not something that's considered wrong. That actually is something that is considered very worthwhile cause. Just Gemara saying that Yisoyimim are not obligated to participate in that. Says the Braisa further, then apotropos rishoy limcha berochoy. Apotropos are not allowed to sell a property that is far away from where the Yisoyimim live, uligo b'karoif, and even though they're going to buy a property that's close by, Barah, where they're not allowed to sell not such a quality property, or legal be offered to buy a nicer property, my tama, shouldn't they be allowed to do so? They're having the best intention. When it comes to real estate, we can never be sure what is going to be better, and therefore we leave the status quo. Vein apotropin shoyin limka sodas likach avodim, nor may apotropin sell fields in order to buy avodim. Amoichem avodim, they may sell the avodim loichem and sodas in order to buy fields. Rav Shimon Gamliel aimer af loy limka avodim likach sodas. One may not sell avodim to buy fields. My tama dama lemeshafin. Maybe the fields, maybe real estate will deplete, or maybe there will be people that will have claims against that real estate, and therefore, again, it's better to keep status quo. Continues the Braisa. Then apotropin l'shoyin lodun. The apotropin are not allowed to go for the entire l'choiv, not for the detriment of the Yisoyimim, v'loy, v'liskas b'nachs Yisoyim, not for their benefit. So ask the Gemara, but let's go to my life. If they're trying to stick up for the benefit of the Yisoyimim, why shouldn't they do so? El Chayv says the Gemara, what the Braisa means to say is that even Amanas Liskos Benichsa Yisoyimim, even if their intention, this is the simple pshat, even if their intention is certainly most honorable, their intention is to win the Nentira, and they're convinced that they're going to win the Nentira, that doesn't mean that they definitely will win the Nentira, and therefore they shouldn't get involved. Then Apotrop Loitzi Avodim L'Cheris. Apotropsin may not free Avodim. Avol Meichon Asoy L'Cherim. They're allowed to sell them to someone else. V'Acherim Etzino Asoy L'Cheris. And those other people now may free them. So as the Rishonim point out, that the case here is where there's no loss to the Yisoyimim because the Avodim aren't working, or that the Yisoyimim need the money, the proceeds. Ava Markham Salachem, Vachem, Tsinos Lacheris. Rebbe Omer, Omer Ani, Afu Noisin Demei Atzmai. Not only may an Eved go out free through the procedure that we just mentioned, but what can happen is that the Eved, if he has money, that Amanash Ein LeRabbi Rishusboy, Afu Noisin Demei Atzmai, the halacha is that he could give that money, the Yotze, Neshimarchuloi. He's no different than he was being sold by himself. So even though, as it seems, it's only permissible if it's done in a two-step process, if the Eved is doing it himself, the two-step process is not required. When the apotropsin return all of the assets that they've been working with of the Yisoyimim, they have to give a clear reckoning, and as we learned in the Mishnah, not just the reckoning, they have to swear. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, ain't a tzarech, it's not necessary. Ain't Oishan apotropin noshim, we're not allowed to appoint women to be an apotropis, because they don't have the experience. Avadim don't have the experience. Ketanim, v'im mina avinu yisoyim. If the father appointed them, then harishus b'yodai, the father has the right to point whoever he wants. So the way the Rashba explains the Gemara is if the father appointed them, what's the chiddush? So explains the Rashba. Since we learned so often that bezdin avim shli yisoyim, it is the responsibility of bezdin to look out for the benefit of the Yisoyimim. So since it's the responsibility of the Bezdin to look out for the welfare of the Yisoyimim, maybe we would think that even if the father appointed such an individual as an apotropis, where we're concerned that they're not qualified to be an apotropis, they may be allowed to remove them from that position. Teaches us the Mishnah, teaches us the Braisa that no. If the father appointed them, that's fine. Says the Gemara, who apotropos have a shvus Rameya? There was an apotropos that lived in the neighborhood of Rameya, that have a komazben aris of a zaben avdi. He was selling real estate that was owned by the Yisoyimim and buying with that money avodim, for a shafke Rameya. A Rameya did not allow him to do so, based on the Gemara that we just learned. Achvele lechavre, so Rameya saw in a dream, nai laharois ve ata livnois, that Minashmayim, they wanted that the Yisoyimim should lose this money, and you prevented that from happening. And the way I saw the Achroinim explain, because the Yisoyimim, or their father, had received these proceeds through lying, stealing, through ribis, or another pshat that the Yavid suggests, that these Yisoyimim were Rishoyim, and Minashmayim, they wanted them to be punished, but Rameyer didn't let that happen. And even though he had a dream that he should let it happen, he didn't pay attention to the dream. Amar, for he said, the halach is that we don't need to pay attention to these dreams. So the Imri Emes explains, if that's the case, that dreams may be ignored, one of the halachas that is often studied in Hilchos Shabbos is that if one has a bad dream in Shabbos, he's allowed to have a tanis chaloyim. But if we're learning now that divrei chaloyimus, loy malam v'loy meridin, that we could ignore dreams, So why is the halacha that we're allowed to fast on Shabbos? So he says that where do we find the language amalim aridim by a dream? He says that we find by the dream of Yaakov Avinu, v'hinei malachi elokim oylem v'yardim by. And what the Gemara means to say is, when you're dreaming like Yaakov Avinu dreamed, and you see malachi elokim oylem v'yardim, that's a dream that you're allowed to pay attention to. But any other dream should be ignored. Hanabei trade the igri b'satan. There were two individuals that the satan was starting up with them. What does that mean? The kol bein shimsha every Friday afternoon bein shmashus have a kamitza b'adadi. They would quarrel. Ikle remei lahasam. Remei came to where they were. Ikfinu tlosu bein shimsha ad avel shalom. There were three consecutive Friday afternoons bein shmashus that he prevented them from getting into a dispute. Shami the kamar, and he heard the satan announce vay. Ramei was successful to get the Yetzirah, to get the Satan out of their home. And Chaim Shmulevitz explains that what is Pshat in this Gemara? He says that wherever there's Machloikis, that's where the Satan appears. And wherever there's Shalom, there is no Satan. And therefore, he says that Dafkan Erev Shabbos, which Shabbos, he explains, we know is the Yoy Menucha V'Kedusha, Shabbos Shalom. Shabbos is supposed to represent the day of peace. He explains the Pasuk says, Lo Savaru Eish B'chol Mesh V'Seichem B'Yoy Mesh Shabbos. So the Pasuk in the Pasuk is that you're not allowed to put on a fire. But he explains, Lo Savaru Eish B'chol Mesh V'Seichem B'Yoy Mesh Shabbos means that there's not allowed to be any Machloikis, specifically on Shabbos. The Eish means the fire of Machloikis. So he knew that in a home where there is Machloikis, that especially Shabbos, since the entire bracha that we have comes from Shabbos, so Meir said, I need to do whatever I can to avoid any Machloikis in this home on Friday afternoon. And that's why I saw the Ben Ishchai explains that Friday afternoon and the entire Shabbos is a time that one should avoid any machlokes. One should be very careful, even if there's something that gets him upset, that his wife or his family or his workers do. The worst thing to do, he says, is that Friday afternoon or on Shabbos to get into a quarrel. There was an apotropist that lived in the neighborhood of Yeshua ben Levi. They have a kamazbin ara. He would sell real estate for Zabin Turi and buy oxen with those proceeds. And Yeshua ben Levi didn't say anything to him. Why? Because the Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, Miyamela Karisi Le Ishti Ishti. I never called my wife by her name, wife. Ishti Ilishari Shari, nor did I call my axe. Elishti Basi. Representing that he recognized that his wife was the foundation of his home. Lushari Sade, and he recognized that without oxen, he can never work his field. Hani Yasim Dava Smicha Gan Hayisabta. There were Yisoimim that were relying on this elderly woman. Havala Tarosa, they had a cow, Shokla Vizinta Nihilai, and she sold it. Also, Kravel Kamed Rav Nachman, the relatives of these Yisoyim came to Rav Nachman. Amle, my avidita de Zivna. How could she sell it? And the main point was that she wasn't even appointed to be their apotropos. So since she wasn't appointed to be their apotropos, how did she have a right to sell it? Amle Yisoyim Shasimcha Eitzabal Bayis Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah that one of the categories of an apotropos is somebody who the Yisoyim rely on. But then they ask him, Vayaka, the price of the cow went up. Had she waited with selling the cow, they would have gotten more. Says the Gemara, Breshusa Telekech Yaker. It got more expensive after the buyer bought it. And obviously, whenever you sell something, you take that risk that it may go up in price after you sell it. Says the Gemara, in the Kite Dame, but they didn't get paid for the cow. Amalu, Said Rav Nachman, if that's the case, Hayne Rav Chanina by Idi Yom Shmuel. Damar Rav Chanina by Idi Yom Shmuel. Nichsi Yisoyim and Reike Hegdish. The Nichsi Yisoyim are treated like Hegdish. V'loy Mikne El B'Kaspa. Even though, as we know throughout Shas, and we're going to speak about it in our Shia today, that when you sell something, the proper way of doing the Kinyan is with Mashiach. But Hegdish, it's only considered a proper Kinyan when you pay for it. As the Pasuk says, V'nosin ha-kesef v'komla. And the Yisoyimim are treated like Hegdish. And therefore, if they weren't paid for it, they have a right to retract from the deal. Says the Gemara, Chamri de Ravna Ukva Yasma. The wine of the Yisoyimim of Ravna Ukva, Meshchur ba'arba arba. The buyer bought it from the apotropis at 4 zuz per barrel. V'yakev v'kom b'shita shita. And it went up in price to 6 zuz a barrel. Osla kamed Rav Nachman, so they came to ask Rav Nachman the Shaila if the assignment could back out of the deal. Amluhu, Hayin Rav Chaniloi Baridi. They said this is the exact same issue that we just raised. Rav Chaniloi by Idi Toros, Dom Rav Chaniloi by Idi Amishmul, Nichsi Yisoyman Rein Kehegdish, V'loi Makni Alav Kaspa. And therefore the halacha is that if it wasn't yet, if they weren't paid for, they could back out. Moshe Perim Yasmi. Says the Gemara, that if the purchaser did Mashicha from the apotropos of the Yisoyimim, and they didn't pay for it, a yakar, and then what they bought went up in price, says the Gemara, Hayin Rav Chanina Ba'idi, that is the case that we just discussed. But what is the halacha of Zol, if the price of the fruit went down, and now the buyer wants to be able to back out of the deal, the halacha is that they can't back out of the deal, because once they did Mashicha, because now the Gemara introduces a new concept. We don't want to treat Hegdish or Yisoyimim worse than regular people. What does that mean to say? That since the halacha is that once Mashicha is done, it becomes the buyers. So this that we're saying, that you have to pay, that it should become the buyers, is only when it's to the benefit of the Yisoyimim. But when it's not to the benefit of the Yisoyimim, we leave it at the regular rule of Mashicha concludes the deal. Amshichel hu peir liyasi. What happens if the apotropis did Mashicha on behalf of the Yisoyimim? So the halacha is, a yakar, if the price of the fruit goes up, and now the Yisoyimim are beneficiaries of that, as we just explained, we certainly always are looking out for the benefit of the Yisoyimim. Since we're always looking out for the benefit of the Yisoyimim, so if it went up in price, so it's certainly to their benefit to hold on to it, and we let them hold down to it. What happened, Zol, if the price went down? So Sovimenei, Hanad of Chanila Baridi, that if the Yisoyimim didn't pay, it doesn't become them, theirs, and therefore they could back out. That's not doing something, he said, for the benefit of the Yisoyimim. Why? The Zimna the Mitzvah Chilaperi, there are going to be times that the fruit is going to go down in value. They're going to need fruit. And nobody's going to want to sell them fruit because they're going to say, V'leka the Chayavle Adi Yavzuzi. Sometimes they don't have cash available, but they didn't sell with cash. As we're learning, they sold with a Kenyan. But here, with the Yisoyimim, if the Yisoyimim will always be able to back out, nobody's going to ever want to sell them fruit when they need fruit. Yave Yasmi Zuzah Peri. If the Yisoyimim paid for the fruit, Zol, and it goes down in price, the halacha is that they could back out. Just like if I bought fruit from another person, the halacha is if I didn't do Mashicha, it doesn't become mine. So the Yisoyimim are not treated any differently. A yakar, but if the price of the fruit went up after the sale took place and they paid for it, and they didn't pay for it, Hainu the Rav Chanina Baridi. Sovereignty, Hainu the Rav Chanina Baridi, and the Yisoyimim should be allowed to back off. Amalev Shesha Bredavidi, Haroi Hilidu. This is not to their benefit, because if they'll back out, no one will ever want to sell anything to Yisoyimim. The reason why Chazal instituted that metatlin always need mashicha, why isn't kesef good enough? Because we're concerned that if they're not going to be a mashicha, the meicher will say, until there's a mashicha, if they give cash, and then there's chas v'shalom a fire in the rishus of the meicher will say, well, I don't have to worry about it, because it's not mine anymore. And that's why Chazal said that until there's mashicha, it's still considered the meicher. Continues the Gemara. Yavle zuzul yasmei peri. If somebody bought fruit from the Yisayimim and he paid for it, yaker, and now it went up to the in value, so then Allah is lo yekoy chedim become a magdish. And since if they were buying from a hedyet, the Allah is you could back out until you do mashicha. So certainly when you buy from the Yisayimim could back out until there was mashicha. Zo, if it goes down in value, and the buyer wants to back out, and all he had given was just cash, that he gave cash, and now that they bought with kesef, and since they gave kesef, they can't back out, even though they hadn't made mashicha. This isn't to the benefit of the Yisayimim to say that that's the rule. Why? There's going to be time where the Yisayimim need cash. Nobody's going to want to buy anything with them because they're going to say that it's not worth doing business with Yisayimim. So after learning this whole piece of Gemara, the only time that Yisayimim are not treated like regular people is if somebody did Mashicha from the Yisayimim, but didn't give any cash. A Hedyet cannot back off. Yisayimim can back off. Amar Vashi, another of Kenech, Sim Nashtar, the Ima, the Zira, Yasma, the Zabna, Arul, Kagav, Lechasta. I and Rav Kahana signed on a document that the mother of Zira, the Yosim, sold his property in order to pay off taxes, and she sold it without making an announcement. As the Gemara teaches us in many places in Shas, assets of the Yisayimim can only be sold with Achroza, where we make a public auction to make sure that they get the best price. For paying off taxes, the halacha is different. In order to pay off their tax obligation, in order they should have what they need to, that the Yisayim should have what they need, or the family, the wife and daughters who are entitled to be supported, ulukfura, the obligation that we need to pay off the kfura, mezavdina b'lai chrasta. So Taisus, the Remaskal lukfura, explains, lukfura doesn't mean to make the levaya, because that's obvious that we're not going to delay making the levaya by 30 days to have the right amount of money to do the levaya. What the Gemara means is that if they need to, they made the levaya, but now they need to be able to pay for that levaya. The halacha is that the Yisayimim could sell off the assets of the Yisayimim, even though they could sell off the assets of the Yisayimim, even though we're not going to go through the normal hachroza process. Amrit Savra Apatrap the Yasmihava. Amra, who was a painter, was the apotropos of Yisayimim. Also came to Rav Nachman, and the Yisayimim's relatives came to Rav Nachman. I'm like, lavish u'mechsim yasmi. He's buying beautiful clothing from the Yisayimim's assets. Amruhu. So he said he's allowed to do it. It's for the benefit of the Yisayimim. Ki heichad l'shtam mili. When a well-dressed person comes to do business, he gets more respect. So now that he's doing business with the assets of the Yisayimim, he needs to dress well. So then they said, Ka'ach v'shashim deduv v'loy amad. He's eating and drinking off the assets of the Yisayimim, and we can't assume that he's using his own money for that because he isn't such a wealthy person. Eimim etziya ashkach. They said, no, we're not going to right away accuse that he's misappropriating their fund. We're going to say that maybe he found money, and that's how he's able to afford better food. for kamafsid. Says the Mabadari had another complaint. We see that he isn't paying proper attention to their assets. Amalu Isli said to the mafsid. So that point Rav Nachman said to the relatives, if you could bring Edom, if you could bring experts to say that he's not taking care of the assets property, the Salkinu, and I will have him removed. The Rab, Apotropos, the Mafsid, if Bez, the Apotropos that is not taking care of the assets properly, then the Alochi is, Mesalkinale, we remove him. The Rambam, many Rishonim have discussion which type of apotropos are we speaking here. So most Rishonim say that we're talking here about an apotropos that was appointed by the father. So since he was appointed by the father, unless we know definitively that he's misappropriating the father's, the Yisoyim's assets, we don't remove him. But if it's an apotropos that was appointed by Beis Din, then we are quicker to remove him. However, the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba says that once we appointed this individual to be an apotropos, it makes no difference if he was appointed by Beis Din or by the father. We can't just remove him without clear evidence that he deserves to be removed. Ditma apotropos, the mafsid, Rav Huna amar misal kinalei, the Bar Rav Shina amar loy misal kinalei, that we aren't so quick that we should remove him. But the Rishonim certainly point out that if the apotropos is a pesheya, that he's negligent, everybody agrees that he's removed. If he's an oinus, it was beyond his control, everybody agrees that he's not removed. The machlokes is that when he didn't do the best job he could have done, so he wasn't negligent, and he wasn't an oinus either. That's where we have the machlokes in the Gemara, if we could remove him. And the halacha, as the Gemara is saying, is the mesalkinalei, that we remove him. And again, the Magen Mishnah says, it's only by a father-appointed apotropos. If Beis Din appointed him, we're quicker to remove him. Apotropos shemnu avi yisoyimim. We learned in the Mishnah that apotropos was appointed by the father of the yisoyimim. When he finishes his term, Yishavi has to swear that he didn't keep any of the money for himself. My Tama, says the Gemara, Ilav de Islay Hanomine, why did Chazal make him make a shvua? Why won't he say, if the price of being an apotropos is to make a shvua, I don't want to be an apotropos? Says the Gemara, because Ilav de Islay Hanomine, if not for the fact that he had benefit from them, from the father, he would never accept it upon himself to be a apotropos. So we're not concerned that this is going to prevent him from being an apotropos, and therefore the shua is not going to stop him from being an apotropos. Minu Beis Din, lo yishava, says the Gemara, milsuhu David lebei dina. He's doing a favor to Beis Din to accept being an apotropos. And says the Gemara, v'yiramas alei shvu, if you're going to make him swear, aslam nui, he's not going to want to be an apotropos. But we learned in the Mishnah, Abishol lo mechil hadvarim. Abishol says just the opposite. Says the Gemara, and the Gemara explains, my tamei minu Beis Din yishava, but here not the kaf nafka lekola d'inish me'am nahu, the fact that he was chosen by Beis Din to be an apotropos is something that he very much appreciates and gives him a great reputation. The kosamach lebeidina, people will say, this is an individual that Beis Din relies on. And therefore, that great reputation is so valuable to him, mishim shvua, just because of a shvua lo yasul nui, that's not going to prevent him from becoming an apotropos. However, menu avi yisoyimim, according to Abishol, if the avi yisoyimim appointed him, then lo yishava. Because why did he agree to be an apotropos? Because Milsa David Hu Avadadi, they're good friends, and he asked them, please be an apotropos. However, there's only that far he's willing to do. And therefore, Iramis Leishvua, if you're going to have to make one make him swear, then he's going to say, Aslam Nu, I'm not interested in being an apotropos. Amr of Chanabar Ami Amishmul, Hilchasak Abishol, the Loch is like Abishol, that apotropos appointed by Beis Din at the end of the term should swear, whereas an apotropos that was appointed by the Avi Yisoymim does not swear. Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Zev Zay Yishava. In both cases, he should swear. Aloch Kedvarav, and that is the Alocha. Says the Maratana at Tachlifa by Marova Kamedra Avua. Apotropos Shemenu Avi Yisoymim, an apotropos that was appointed by the father Yishava, Mnei Shunois Sachar, because he's getting paid for this. And therefore, the Shvua she will not be a reason not to take on the job. Amalei, at Isaacavs for Kaile, did you go and pay him? That you know he's getting paid. Elaima neisha apik noisikasacher, because he is considered as if he's getting paid. Why is it considered he's getting paid? Because the Gemara goes back to a concept that the Gemara just mentioned. No one would accept to be an apotropos. If a father asked him to be an apotropos, no one would agree to take on this position unless he was obligated to do so because of a relationship that he had with the father. That the father had done something on his behalf, and because the father had done something on his behalf, he felt beholden to take care of the father. And therefore, since he felt beholden, that's why it's as if he got paid for being an apotropos.